So I want to share with you tonight that I hope will be in a help and encouragement to us to think about things for just a few minutes tonight. Never know on these holidays how you know, crowds are going to be and who's coming back and all of that. Had a good service this morning, I do believe. Amen? And I enjoyed the service and bringing the message this morning, and I hope it was a help to everyone. And I hope this will help you tonight. But in Revelation 21, if you'll look at verse 5, I'm going to just read a portion of this verse and pray, and then we'll look at more as we go. Verse 5, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." Let's pray. Dear Father, guide and direct us tonight with these thoughts tonight and speak to our hearts and encourage us, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll go back and read some more of those in a little bit and some other passages as well this evening. But all things new is what I'm preaching on tonight. All things new. The Lord makes all things new. Don't you like new things? Do y'all like new things? Some of you like old things, don't you? New things become old things. Have you figured that one out? Amen. Doesn't take a long time to do it. You know, sometimes people get bored with new things. I was hearing something about this recently. People used to trade cars more than they do now. Can't afford to trade cars now. They keep them longer is what they're telling us. They keep them longer. I heard somebody tell me recently, I said, "You got a new car?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I went to get it serviced and they made me an offer I couldn't refuse because they need used cars." So I ended up getting another car. But that doesn't happen a whole lot anymore, I don't think. It doesn't happen that often anyway, like it used to. See, my dad was one, by the way, that used to change cars a lot. He never bought a new car, but he would shop around and he'd find a deal and he'd buy it and get rid of one. And folks at church would say, "You never know what he's going to drive up in," because he wouldn't keep cars very long. He did at the end, by the way. He did at the end. He kept them a little longer. But for a while there, it seemed like he was on a roll. But God makes all things new is what we're talking about tonight. New things can be nice, and but like I say, they're not new for very long. But what God makes new, it's going to stay new, right? And we'll talk about a few of these tonight. Now, you know, the Bible opens up with a paradise. The Bible opens up with the Garden of Eden. The Bible opens up with perfection. But then, obviously, when you get into chapter 3 of Genesis, the sin, the fall of man comes. And man falls into sin. And the curse of sin ruined all things that were new at that time in paradise. But the Bible also ends with a paradise. The Bible ends with talking about heaven. I'm glad the Lord had a plan to restore what mankind marred. Amen. God already had a plan for whenever Adam and Eve would sin and the curse of sin would become upon mankind and come upon this beautiful earth that God made. But God already had a plan to make all things new. And in His time, He's going to do that. Now, you know, we're watching the Middle East right now. I saw very little today, but what I did see was destruction. In Israel, because they've been getting hit and they've been getting residential areas have been getting hit and things are getting destroyed and they're, you know, firing off missiles and destroying things there. But in this whole world, things do get destroyed. Things do wear out. Things do deteriorate. Jesus talked about sending your treasures on up ahead where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Because down here, the moths will eat it or the rust to get it, right? That's just the deterioration that we understand down here. But God makes all things new. And I want to just mention three areas tonight where God makes all things new. So number one, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the new birth. If you're saved tonight, you've had the new birth. John chapter 3, Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." And Nicodemus, a religious man, was like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And Jesus said, "You must be born again." He made that emphasis to him that I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about you being born again. Nicodemus thought it was a physical thought. No, the Lord was talking about a spiritual birth, the new birth, the second birth that we all need. And the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Hey, if you're saved tonight, the Lord made something new out of you. Amen? Aren't you glad when the Lord made you new again? I don't know where you were or what you were like before you got saved. I don't know how old you were. You might have been a kid. You might have felt like you weren't really that tainted with sin as far as getting out into the world and getting into the corruption and all of that. Maybe you did. I don't know. But either way, when you got saved, you became somebody new. You were born into the family of God. I mentioned John 1:12 this morning where he says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Kind of a double emphasis there of receiving Christ and believing on Christ. But he said, what happens? He gave them power to become the sons of God, to become born again, to become something new. In the family of God, we talked about that. Or he sang about that tonight. We're in the family of God. That was a new thing. You were born into a family physically, but when you got born again, you were born into the family of God. So if you were a religious person, that wasn't no fun. Well, you know, I mentioned this Wednesday night, Matthew 11:28-30. We were talking about that. And the yoke of religion, trying to satisfy the demands of religion, trying to keep the rules of religion. But once you take the yoke of the Christ upon you, when you receive the Lord, not religion, you receive Christ, you receive the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Because you're no longer trying to work your way to heaven, you're now resting in the work that Christ did on the cross. Amen? What a difference that is. And when people can get saved out of the burden of religion and get into the rest of faith, it's a much better thing, and it is a new thing. Amen? There's so many people that don't understand what's going on there. But the Bible talks about new things. The Bible says you would have a new record. Your jail record. Some of y'all got a jail record, right? But you know what I'm talking about? Your record is cleaned, amen? Your record is made new. Your account is wiped clean, and the perfect account of Jesus Christ is applied to your name, amen? Whenever you receive Christ, you have a new record. Whenever you receive Christ, you have new desires. Old things passed away. That's old desires passed away. Old friends passed away in the sense that you're not running with that crowd anymore. You're trying to do the right thing. You're trying to live the right way. And you didn't have to leave them. They leave you when you're trying to do the right thing and you're trying to witness to them, right? But you have a new desire now. You don't desire to go to those old places anymore. You don't desire to live in those sins anymore. You desire to get into the Word of God. You desire to spend time with the Lord in prayer. You desire to witness for Jesus. You desire to go to church. Those were new desires. Did y'all get those new desires? You remember getting those new desires? Did you get a new hunger? Not for sin, not for the appetite of the flesh, but a new hunger for spiritual things. You got a new understanding of spiritual things. You know, when people get under conviction, they don't really know what's going on. They get under conviction, we call it, and the Holy Spirit begins to work on them, and the Lord begins to convince them that you're lost, you're a sinner, you're undone, you need something. I don't know what I need, but I need something. And you might have saw a Christian, and you might have said, I don't know what it is I need, but I think they got it. I need what they have, right? They got something new, and now you need what they have. And it's a new one. And then you get saved. You couldn't understand this Bible. You get saved, and you begin to read the Bible. And you begin to understand God. You begin to understand His love. You begin to appreciate grace like you never appreciated the grace of God before. You have a new understanding of all things spiritual. You get into church and you hear the preaching of the Word of God. You get into Sunday school and you hear the teaching of the Word of God. And you begin to learn about what's going to happen. You begin to learn about the end times, and you begin to learn about what God has in store for you. And it's just a whole new world, if you will, a whole new outlook. Did you get a new outlook on life? Did you get a new perspective? I did. God just gave me a new perspective when I was like 16 years old. I had revival is what I had then. But it was like being born again. I always say that. And, you know, but it gave me a new outlook on life. It gave me a new perspective. I saw things in a light I never saw things before. I could understand things in the Bible that I couldn't see before. It's all new. You have a new nature. Did you get a new nature when you got saved? That's part of the new desires, right? That old sin nature no longer is having dominion over you. You've got a new nature now because of the new birth. And then you come to understand that you have a new family in your church. And you have a new home up in heaven. And you're looking forward to going to that new home one day. Amen? All things become new. Old things passed away. That phrase, pass away. We say that when somebody dies, don't we? They passed away. You know, my dad told me when I die, don't say I passed away. Don't say he died. Say he went to heaven. Amen? But we understand the terminology of passing away. That person's earthly life has passed away. Well, your old life passed away. You're dead with Christ, but now you're alive unto Christ or alive in Christ. All things became new. Amen? Y'all believe in the new birth tonight? Do you believe people can still experience the new birth? Do you believe a person can be turned inside out by the Holy Spirit of God, putting them under conviction, and whenever they put their faith in Christ, they have a new life, a new perspective, a new hope, a new home, new everything. Amen, right? And we pray for people to get a hold of that. Do you have some folks on your prayer list right now? You want them to see the glorious light of the gospel, because right now they're blinded by the devil. But I tell you, once the Lord removes the scales, once the Lord opens up their eyes, it is, boy, everything's new, right? I've seen people, I think about a guy I knew years ago that everything was dark, everything was black with him, everything was devil, everything was witches, the guy got saved, became a preacher. Everything became bright, everything became light. Amen? You're out of darkness into the light of God, right? Thank God for the new birth that we can have. And I think this Sunday night crowd, you understand the new birth. You understand how God makes all things new. You're a new creature. You're a new creation. Old life passed away. All things become new in your life. Thank God for the change that He brought into your life. Amen. Your mind, the way you think, and the way you thought about things, everything changed. But let me say this, number two. You know what else the Lord gives you, number two? New bodies are coming. New bodies. Do you need a new body? Are you going to get a new body? Amen. Now, you didn't get it when you got saved. Amen, right? You didn't get it when you got saved. I tell you what, Lord saved me, and I'm still sick. The Lord saved me and I still have cancer. The Lord saved me and I'm still old. Old people can get saved. They get saved, they're still old, right? We were talking about some of this morning. I got to go back and read what you were showing me. But that's sort of the same line of thinking we were going on. You get saved and whatever problems you have are still there as far as your physical body. Why? Because this body is deteriorating. This body is getting old. This body, if it's handicapped, is still handicapped. But you now have a promise of an eventual new body. Right? 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talked about the resurrection. He talked about being changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Changed how? You can be changed physically. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 describes the rapture and how the dead in Christ are going to rise. Their bodies that are decayed and corrupted and practically gone will be resurrected and reunite with their soul and be made brand new, never to get sick again, never to die again. And then those which are alive and remain will be caught up with them, raptured with them to meet the Lord in the air, and you'll change too. I'm saying you will, as if you and I are going to get in on the rapture. Isn't that a good thought? Amen? Those people that get caught up in the rapture never die. never die. There, some of them are going to say, we were meaning to get our funeral arrangements done, but thank God we didn't even have to do it. Some are thinking, I was so worried about that, I didn't get it done, and I was going to leave that burden to my family, but hey, didn't need it anyway. The Lord knows who doesn't need it, right? Now, if you're one of those who are saying, well, I'm not going to make any arrangements, I'm not going to worry about that because I know I'm going up into the rapture. Well, look, God says prepare for some things, and I'm preaching to myself right there, by the way. I got to prepare. But I don't want to say, well, I don't need to do it because, you know, I'm not going to die anyway. I'm going up in the rapture. I don't know how long it's going to be before the rapture comes, to be honest with you. I know it's coming. I just wish I knew when it was. But I do know this, the Lord is long-suffering. But I know this, when it happens, new bodies, like the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be given to you and me. Jesus resurrected. His body was brutally mutilated. Put into that tomb in the worst kind of shape the Bible talks about. Nails in his hands and feet. The thorns, those large, large thorns in his brow and in his head, and that spear in his side, and that cat of nine tails, and the whipping of his back, his flesh torn apart. But I tell you what, 3 days later, he had a brand new, resurrected, glorified, heavenly body. Amen? And when this happens for us, whether you go in the grave and get caught up, or whether you are living on this earth and get caught up, you, in the twinkling of an eye, you will be changed. New body. Amen. Y'all looking forward to that? Forever. It won't hurt. It won't ache. You won't have a headache. You won't need a doctor. I'm glad for Christian doctors, but I'm glad they'll be out of business in heaven. Amen. Christian surgeons will not have anything to do up there in heaven, right? They'll have all that knowledge about how to do it, all that skill, and they'll never get to do it again up there in heaven. Amen, right? Somebody has said this, we leave life much like we entered it. No teeth, little hair, and all wrinkled. Y'all think there's a little truth in that? We come into this world, we go out of this world the way we came into this world, maybe in more ways than one, right? So there's some truth to that one right there for sure. But folks, we're going to get new bodies. Thank God for it. Every time I get on this subject, it's just fun to get on that subject. Amen. To think about no more. No more sickness. No more aches. No more. Have you asked recently, why does this hurt? Anybody asked that question recently? Why do I have this thing going on? Why does my knee feel like that? My knee didn't feel like that last week or whatever, you know? My thumb's been bothering me. I had tape on it yesterday. I don't know why. It just hurt. It bothered me. And I did something with this hand and ended up, my little pinky there, got all bruised. I don't know what happened to it. And do you get older and things just happen easier? I don't know, but... So it's always fun whenever God has given us a new hope of better things. Amen? Nothing in heaven, the new things in heaven, nothing, none of it will deteriorate. So you ask, why do I have this ache? Why do I have this pain? Why is this hurting? Why is this going on here? Sometimes my wife asks me stuff, and I'm like, who are you asking? Call the doctor. I'm not the doctor. I don't know about that kind of thing, you know. But y'all know what I mean. Google it, and you'll find out something. You'll find out you're dying is what you'll find out if you Google it, right? But no, seriously, we're going to have some things. We know we have these things here. This is the earthly life. Why do we have these aches and pains and deterioration? Why do we have to? Sin-cursed earth is what we have right now, right? We're living in a sin-cursed earth. So we have, thankfully, we have the new birth, but one day, not yet, one day, we're going to have new bodies. Even those that are in heaven right now are waiting for their body to get resurrected and made new. It's going to happen at the rapture, all right? That's when it's going to happen. Those that are dead in Christ shall rise first. They're already up there in heaven. They're dead in Christ. They're up there in heaven, right? And they're going to get that new body, and right behind them will be the living believers, and we'll come up right behind them. Isn't that interesting? God gives priority to those that are, who's already separated from their body. But you know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, right? So they're up there in heaven right now with the Lord, but they're going to get that new body in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to get that new body in the same way, and all of this new stuff is going to happen. And of course, by the way, there's going to be the new millennium, the millennial reign of Christ, an age of peace that, you know, 1,000 years on the earth. Y'all know about that? Where the Lord will rule and reign from Jerusalem. A millennial reign, 1,000 years of peace. No peace there right now. No peace there right now. Only Christ can bring the peace. Amen? And He will bring the peace. And peace in that region will be something new that's coming, right? So that's all part of that. But there's going to be the new... Thank God for the new birth. Pray for some more to get it. Thank God for the promise of new bodies. We're looking forward to it. But number three, let's talk about this. Number three, there's the new build. The new build. The Lord's going to build something. All right, back to Revelation 21. Look at verse 1. Verse 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. The Lord is going to build a whole new heaven and earth. There's going to be a new build. Isn't that amazing to think about? He said this earth as it is going to pass away, and then whenever He rebuilds it all, no more sea, no more separation. Right now, you know, people talk about how much water there is on the earth, and it's the majority. You know, well, then it's going to be land, it's going to be earth, there's going to be no separation, there's going to be no need for separation. Verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband. Now that's the heaven that we read about described here. The New Jerusalem is the streets of gold and the gates of pearl and all of this, right? And the Bible says New Jerusalem is going to come down. You know, people always debate whether it's coming all the way down and whether it's going to hover over. Why not come down? It said it's coming down. I don't know. So I'm just glad of this. I'll be there to see how it works. Amen? I'll be there to see how. If it hovers, hey, I'm in a glorified body. I'll see you later. I'm going up to the New Jerusalem, right? I'll be back in a minute. I'm just going to go up there right now. You got your plane ticket? I don't need a plane ticket. I'm telling you, I'm just going right up there to the New Jerusalem. I don't know if it's up there. It says it comes down. It comes down to the new earth, perhaps. Verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are, there it is again, passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. You can count on God's promises. Amen. Verse 6, and He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Amen. We'll stop right there. But He's talking about a new build. He will make a new heaven and a new earth. The earth right now, the Bible describes as it groans because of the curse of sin. The world calls it natural disasters that we have, but it's the groaning of sin, the ill effects of the sin curse upon this earth. It could be a bad thunderstorm. It could be a terrible hurricane. It could be an earthquake. It could be a tornado. It could be what we call natural disasters. It could be a tsunami. Whatever is going on there with all of that stuff. It could be disease in the forest. Just on and on it goes. There could be things in the water and parasites and bacteria and all of this kind of stuff. That's the earth we're on now, but this one's going to be new. You say, how is He going to do it? God's going to do it. He said He's going to make it new. Now, I think, by the way, I think this is a beautiful earth. I like it the way it is, right? Do you like the ocean? It's not going to be there, but you like it. You enjoy it. You think that's pretty neat? Oh, man, I don't want to go to the new one. There won't be an ocean. Just, you're not going to miss it. You're going to be just fine. It's going to be better. Amen? I think some people think like that. Oh, no more at sea. I mean, look, I'm a mariner. I mean, I love the ocean. And you're not going to mind. It's going to be so much better. Amen? Don't y'all believe that? If you think this place is beautiful and wonderful, that the world thinks was made out of a big mistake, which we know better than that, God Almighty created it. And when God Almighty makes it new, it's going to be new and improved. I believe that. Amen? It's going to be new and improved. You're going to be new and improved too. It's going to be a new and improved new heaven and new earth. Heaven, by the way, could be atmosphere, universe, space as we know it, the galaxies as we know it. All of that's tainted by sin. I mean, man's already been to the earth, so there, you know, to the moon, so sin's up there, right? We've been into space. We done messed it all up. But God will make it all new. Amen? And God will take care of it. The last paradise will be better than the first. I like this earth, but I'm going to love and enjoy that new one that God makes. I have no doubt about that. It won't have the scars of sin that this one has. It won't have the issues that we have now. You know, they do studies all the time about why is this going bad? What, you know, and climate change, by the way. And I think by what, 2000 or 2010, according to the climate change people, we're supposed to be gone already anyway. They can't get that right. No, seriously, I saw a video about that recently, one of the politicians saying by 2000 or something, you know, we're not going to have an earth anymore. And, you know, it was like 20 years ago. I mean, you know, we're already past that point. God's got it under His control. Amen. God knows the rate of deterioration, but it doesn't matter. We can have wars, and we can have bombs, and we can just destroy it and tear it all up all we want. We can trash it, we can litter it, do all the things. It will not be destroyed until God says, I'm just wiping it all out and making it all new. God will take care of that in His time, right? I heard one preacher say, just go ahead and pour your oil in the ground and don't worry about it. Now, I don't agree with that. Don't go trash the earth. You know what I'm saying. We ought to be good stewards of it. Amen? But God has a plan beyond us. It won't be scarred by sin anymore. And you see that list of no mores there? He talks about the New Jerusalem in verse 2, but then in verse 4, he's talking about wiping away all tears. That's permanent. That's a permanent wiping away right there. Have you ever wiped a person's tears away? Have you ever, with your hand, wiped somebody's tears and said, I'm with you, I'm sorry, I'm praying for you, I'm sorry? You know what? Another tear is coming. But when the Lord wipes them away, they're wiped away forevermore. Amen? I wonder if people in heaven right now have sorrow and have tears. I believe there will be tears at the judgment. So I believe this is even after that. Whenever we're entering into eternity. Y'all with me on that? That they can know sorrow right now. But anyway, God's going to take care of all of it. But when the Lord wipes those tears away, maybe it's whenever, after He's done with you at the judgment, and you're crying, you're asking for a tissue, and you're asking for a heavenly Kleenex, and you're like, Lord, I wish I'd have done more for you. I wish I'd have served you more. I wish I'd have done better, Lord. But whenever the Lord's done with you, He's going to be kind. He's going to be compassionate. He'll be firm, and we'll bow down before Him. And any rewards we get, we'll lay those at His feet, and we'll weep even then. Out of gratitude. Some weeping will be out of remorse and regret. But when the Lord wipes those tears away, You may have tears of pain. You may say, I've been living in pain for years. But when the Lord wipes those tears away, that's a permanent wipe away. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? And then after He wipes those tears away, then He says, no more death, no more sorrow. Have you ever cried over death because you lost a loved one? We've all done that. No more death, no more sorrow of any kind, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. All of that will be wiped away. All of that, why? There's a new build. There's a new atmosphere. There's a new heaven, and there's a new earth. I used to think, well, you know, if Lucifer rebelled in heaven, became Satan, and then corrupted paradise, what's to keep it from happening again? The answer to that is God. Because all of that happened within the will of God. And all of this will take place like this within the will of God. The will of God says there'll be no more. All that's over, all that's passed away, all that's done, and the devil will be locked away forevermore. Amen? And there won't be any new rebellion. There won't be any new sin nature to be introduced. And forever and ever and ever, we'll be in this new place and this eternal state of newness, if you will. And you're not going to say, well, I declare this is boring. I wish something would get old so I could repair it. You're not going to do that. Hey, you ever think like that? I do. I think like that. Well, you know, it's kind of fun to fix things sometimes. We won't have nothing to fix. We won't have nothing to repair. Sorry, men, nothing to fix. But you know what? It'll be okay. You'll be all right with that. Amen? No weeds to pull up. It's a new place. I trimmed shrubs the other day. Two truckloads of shrubs, you know, all that. That's how long I let it go because I don't like doing stuff like that. Amen? But anyway, so none of that up there in heaven, right? It's a new place and there's no more. So let me ask you, have you been made new in Christ? Have you received Christ as your Savior? Have you been born again into the family of God? Do you know the new birth? I would say most of us here tonight probably would say yes to that. I hope you do. I hope you can. I hope you can say, I know the new birth. Are you looking forward to the new body in the sense that you're looking forward to the return of Christ? Yes. By the way, look, you can look forward to the new body. Oh, I can't wait till I get a new body. But you know what really goes along with that we ought to be thinking about? I can't wait till I see Jesus. Amen. And when I see Jesus, I'm going to get this other stuff too, right? So let's not just get focused on, oh, I'm going to get a new body and we're going to get a new body. It's not going to be like, oh, this new body is so wonderful. Thank you, Lord. No. You're not going to say, yeah, see you later. No. You're going to go bow down at His feet and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me the new birth and giving me a new body. And right? Oh, I look forward to a new body. No, I look forward to the return of Christ that will give me a new body, right? Let's keep the focus on Jesus always. Don't put the focus on your new body. Put the focus on the one that's going to give you the new body when He returns. Are you looking forward to it, though? Do you have the new birth? Are you looking forward to the new body and the new build because of the return of your Savior, Jesus? Amen? Now look, if we've got the new birth, but it's kind of gotten old to us. You know that can get old to us. Yeah, I got saved one time. I remember when I got saved. And are you still excited about it? No, I kind of backslid. That happens, right? Why? Because we still live in this thin, cursed earth. And we can get away from God to the point we're no longer excited about the new birth that we have. Because we're not living in the new life. Look, folks, He'll give you a new birth, but He'll also give you a new power to live the Christian life. Amen? But sometimes we drift from that. I'm saying that because one reason you may not look forward to the return of Christ is you may not be where you ought to be right now with Christ. Amen? Right? If we're not where we ought to be with Christ, we may not be looking forward to facing Christ. Let's live for Him every day looking for Him. Amen? Right? And if you're not where you ought to be, if you don't have the new birth, you can get it. If you have the new birth, but you've gotten away from living for the Lord, you can get that back and then get ready for His return spiritually. Amen, right? And not be ashamed at His return, which we don't want to do. Are you anticipating all these new things? Does it fill your heart with joy to think about the new things that God has given and that God has in store for His children? I kind of want to stay at a place where I'm looking forward to it. Right? Amen? You know, you watch the news, you see a lot of sad stuff right now, and you pray for Israel, you pray for all of that that's going on in the world, you pray for these things. But you know what I ought to do? That I'll just say, you know what, He's coming back soon, I believe. Right? He's coming back. But we don't know how long it's going to be. So I'll tell you what, let's stay in step with Him. Because the more perilous times we face, the more we're going to need His power. Amen? And His blessing and His help. But thank God for the promises of all things new. Who does it? He does it. You know, whenever folks say, well, I believe in evolution and a big bang, big accident, all they're saying is, I don't want to recognize the God who created and said, it is good in Genesis, right? They just don't want to recognize God. I like what God said in the verse that we read, I make all things new. It's God. I want to recognize the God who made it the first time, and I want to one day see the God who's going to make it all new again, right? And I want to praise His name. I want to worship Him, walk with Him, live for Him, serve Him, pray to Him, talk to Him, all that, until He comes, right? And I don't want to get over. I don't want the new birth to get old. The Apostle Paul never got over being saved, did he? He never got over it. You know what? I don't think we ought to either. Amen? It ought to stay fresh and new, if you will. Renewed. The inward man is renewed day by day, Paul said, right? And we need to live in that newness of the new birth. And I hope we can do that, and we'll look forward to these other new things that are coming. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Thank the Lord for the new birth and the